Hello and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. The Eddie Cantor Show kept the nation's spirits up during World War II with comedy making fun of the enemy and Dinah Shore singing beautiful songs. They had a regular cast of characters and sometimes a guest star. In the second half-hour show this week, Cary Grant is the guest star. In this first show, Eddie jokes about Jack Benny and how he can't get paid for his guest appearance on Jack's show. Jack Benny was always making jokes about being cheap, but he was one of the most generous stars in Hollywood. Enjoy The Eddie Cantor Show, first broadcast May 5th, 1943 on NBC.
Mr. Von Zell?
Yes, Dinah?
We're going on the air in a minute. Where's Mr. Cantor?
Oh, well, I'll tell you, something's cooking here. Last Sunday, Eddie appeared on Jack Benny's program, and he's having a little difficulty getting his check.
Oh.
In fact, right now, Eddie is outside in the phone booth calling Mr. Benny's business manager, Sylvester J. Bloomer.
Hello. 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 Let me speak to Mr. Bloomer. Hello?
Hello. Bloomer's on the line.
This is Eddie Cantor.
Oh, hi, Cantor.
Hello, Bloomers. Listen, please, Mr. Bloomer, what's with my check for the Benny broadcast?
My dear sir, I can assure you that your check was signed and placed in an envelope on Monday. Every Monday, Mr. Benny signs all his checks.
Then how come I didn't receive mine in the mail?
Who said he mails them?
He didn't mail it? Well, look, come. Can I have it picked up by someone in my family?
Why, of course.
See?
Your contract with Mr. Benny specifically states, quote, Mr. Cantor's check may be picked up at any time by any one of his sons.
Sons? But I haven't got any sons.
Well, better luck next time. Goodbye, Mr. Cantor.
Wait a minute. Look, Bloomer. As Benny's business manager, you'll have to release my check.
Oh, I haven't the power to do that. I'm afraid I'll have to present your case to Mr. Benny's financial advisors. Snodgrass, O'Sullivan, Foolong, and Moskowitz.
Snodgrass, O'Sullivan, Foolong, and Moskowitz?
If they say it's okay, you'll get your check immediately. Let's take a vote, boys. Is it all right to give Cantor's check?
Yes, certainly.
Positively.
No.
Moskowitz says no.
Moskowitz, hello, Moskowitz. That cheap Benny. Just because he lost some money on Rochester's horse in the Kentucky Derby, he is the tightest penny-pinching... Operator.
Yes?
Operator, I didn't get my number. Please give me back my nickel.
I will return your slug.
Bristol Myers, makers of iPana for the smile of beauty and Sal Hepatica for the smile of health, present... It's time to smile with Snodgrass, O'Sullivan... No. With Eddie Cantor.
Can this be me feeling so happy-go-lucky? Looking in your happy-go-lucky eyes. Can this be me feeling so happy-go-lucky? Me what's always acted so smart and wise. Can this be me singing, oh, everything's ducky? Following you on your happy-go-lucky way. Well, if it's me feeling so happy-go-lucky, pardon me while I skip a kiss to say, heaven bless this happy-go-lucky day.
I'm feeling low, I'm feeling so happy-go-lucky, pardon me while I skip a kiss to say, heaven bless this happy-go-lucky day.
Yeah.
I understand that after your broadcast with Jack Benny last Sunday, he invited you over to his house for a feast.
Yes, Harry, and I enjoyed everything but the meat course.
Well, what was the meat course?
I don't know exactly, but I assure you, Rochester's horse will never run again.
Now, wait a minute, Eddie. How did you know it was Rochester's horse?
I know. Look, when they passed the sugar, my steak reached out and grabbed three lumps. Well, you know. Poor Rochester. He tried everything to make his horse win the Kentucky Derby. He even gave him a rub down with Jim. And believe me, Harry, that horse would have won the race if he didn't sprain his neck.
Oh, well, how did he sprain his neck?
Trying to lick the gin off his back. But getting back to the dinner, Harry. Harry Von Zell, you know, Benny served some terrific food at the dinner.
He did?
He placed an enormous platter of roast pheasant in front of me and said, Eddie, just smell that pheasant. It really smelled wonderful.
Oh, how did it taste?
Who knows? He just let me smell it.
No, really, Eddie, is he that cheap?
Cheap? Harry, he won't even pay his guest stars. I can't get my check just because some guy named Moskowitz says no. It makes me so mad. Really, I could
Eddie,
see my lawyer.
Telephone is...
I'm sorry. Hello? Eddie Cantor speaking.
Bloomer's on this end.
What? Tell me, what's new, Bloomer?
Plenty. Snodgrass, O'Sullivan, Foolong, and Moskowitz just took another vote on giving you your check. And Moskowitz says yes.
That's wonderful. Can I pick it up today?
I'm sorry. Now Snodgrass, O'Sullivan, and Foolong say no.
Look, can't they get together? Please, Bloomer, can't you put some pressure on Snodgrass, O'Sullivan, and Foolong?
What?
Tell them I'm depending on that check. Appeal to them, will you?
I'll try. Boys, Cantor needs the money. Shall we give it to him?
Yes.
Certainly.
Positively.
Moskowitz says no again.
Oh, that Moskowitz, I'll kill. Listen, you can tell Benny. Tell Benny that's the last time I'll ever appear on his program.
Funny, that's what Benny told me.
Nevertheless, I should get my check. And I don't think it's right for Jack to leave it up to Snodgrass, O'Sullivan, Foolong, and Moskowitz.
Well, why not? They've been Mr. Benny's trusted employees for years. Why, only last year they starred on his program.
They starred on his program? What did they do?
Show me what you did, boys. Let's go.
J-E-L-L-O.
No!
Moskowitz still says no.
Imagine, Harry, having a guy like that working for him. When I visited Benny Sunday night, I should have realized then and there that he'll do anything to save money.
Well, Eddie, what do you mean?
When I went into Benny's house, it was in complete darkness, except for a little candle in the hall. I said, Jack, what's the idea of the candle? There's no blackout. He said, I know, but why wait till the last minute? How do you like a fellow?
Well, you mean that you all sat there in the dark?
Well, not exactly. Every 5 minutes during dinner, Benny opened the Frigidaire door so we can get a look at the prices on the menu.
Well, listen, tell me this, Eddie. What kind of a couple do Mary Livingston and Jack make?
Very domestic, Harry.
They do?
They're always helping each other. Honestly, when I first came in the house, it was a beautiful sight. Jack was downstairs in the kitchen washing Mary's stockings, and Mary was upstairs shampooing Jack's hair. It was beautiful, beautiful, Harry. Hello?
Bloomer's on the wire.
Yes, Bloomer.
Have I got terrific news?
What is it?
Snodgrass, O'Sullivan, Foolong, and Moskowitz just took another vote on giving you your check. And they all said yes.
They said yes. That's wonderful. Can I pick it up today?
I'm sorry. Flanagan says no.
I don't... Flanagan? Who's Flanagan?
The boys took a junior partner into the firm. And the vote must be unanimous, you know. However, I'll see what I can do. Flanagan, are you sure you don't want to change your vote?
Well, Ken is a nice guy, I guess. I'll say yes.
Bloomer! What happened?
Flanagan is no longer with the firm.
And?
Again, Moskowitz says no.
Please, Mr. Bloomer, you don't realize how important this check is to me. I'm a married man. Mother's Day is coming. I don't want a coat. I've got a family.
Oh, Cantor, I'm touched. Deeply. Boys, I demand that you give Cantor his check. Come on, now, what do you
say? Well, shall we do it or not?
There. That's the spirit. Cantor, Snodgrass just got out the checkbook.
Yes, yes.
O'Sullivan filled in the dates.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Foolong signed it. And Moskowitz tore it up. Yeah! Bye, Cantor.
Long, Bloomers. At a time like this, Harry, must you laugh?
Oh, what's wrong with that, Eddie? I should think you'd appreciate my good nature.
Yes.
I'll bet Jack Benny would pay a lot of money to have me laugh on his program.
You call that a laugh? Listen, Don Wilson can laugh louder than that with just one chin. Why, when Wilson laughs, it sounds like an audience of 200 people.
Yeah, well, why not? He carries his own balcony.
What do you think you got under that vest, a mezzanine? Of course, I put on a little weight myself, Harry, since that delicious dinner Benny gave me Sunday night.
Delicious? Eddie, I thought you said you had a steak that was so...
I was only fooling, Harry. We didn't have steak. Who gets steak these days? Who knows a butcher that intimately?
You know. You were kidding. Well, what did you have?
Well, he served one dish that he said was a rare delicacy. Spring chicken, very, very young. Oh, very young.
Very young? Well, what was it?
A soft-boiled egg. Yeah, but get this topper. The topper was the trained Mexican jumping beans.
Trained Mexican jumping beans?
Yeah, Benny walks around with a platter of them, serves a tablespoonful off the platter onto the plate, and before you can get your fork into them, they jump back in the platter.
Soft-boiled eggs and beans, that I don't like.
You're telling me, Harry.
No, not just because it isn't even a dinner, but because they're soft foods. And the soft, well-cooked foods we do eat so much of nowadays may not give our gums the stimulation they need to help keep them firm and healthy. That's why it's so important, ladies and gentlemen, to massage faithfully with Ipana toothpaste. Because Ipana is not only unsurpassed for cleaning and brightening teeth, but when used with massage, it is especially designed to help give gums the stimulation they may not get from soft, well-cooked foods. And since healthy gums are so important to sound teeth and sparkling smiles, why not adopt this simple, healthful routine?
Every time you brush your teeth with Ipana toothpaste, put a little extra Ipana on your brush or fingertip and massage it on your gums.
So help yourself through this easy, modern way, ladies and gentlemen, to firmer, healthier gums and more sparkling smiles with Ipana toothpaste and gum massage. Lovely Dinah Shore singing It's Always You.
Whenever it's early twilight, I watch till a star breaks through. Funny, it's not a star I see, it's always you. Whenever I roam through roses, and lately I often do. Funny, it's not a rose I touch, it's always you. If a breeze caresses me, it's really you strolling by. And if I hear a melody, it's merely the way you sigh. Wherever you are, you're near me. You dare me to be untrue. Funny, each time I fall in love,
Dinah Shore, when they ask me who's the best singer, I always say it's always you. Really beautiful. Harry,
what?
Harry, you know that young girl who made such a big hit in RKO's picture, Hitler's Children? You know, Vanita Granville?
Oh, yes, sure.
I just found out she's working as Jack Benny's secretary. How do you like that?
No.
Yeah. No. I got a call from Benny's office, and they told me she's bringing over my check. At last,
my
check.
That's good.
Isn't it wonderful, huh?
Well, Benita Granville. Well, Benita, where's the check?
Moskowitz says no.
Again with that Moskowitz. Benita, why did you go to work for that cheap Benny? I'll bet he doesn't even pay you.
Oh, but he does.
Yeah?
I started out for $200 a week, then I got $250.
$250?
Yes, and next week he's giving me 300 boxes of Grape Nuts Flakes.
Benita, I don't understand. Why do you hold on to a job like that?
Well, you see, Dennis Day is my boyfriend.
Oh-ho, you have dates with Dennis Day?
Yeah, my mother doesn't want me to go out with men yet.
Why not? You're a young lady now. Gosh, Benita, I can remember when you were just a kid in pigtails. You were such a pest. You always wanted to sit on my lap, and I would never let you.
Yes, but I've changed.
So have I. Sit down, please. Benita, you know, it's hard for me to believe that you're in love. I don't like to get personal, Benita, but does that Grape Nuts Flakes Galahad ever make love to you?
Oh, yes. Yes, Dennis is really the aggressive type.
Yeah.
I put my arms around him. I lay my head on his shoulder. I snuggle close to him. Then I put my lips close to his.
Fast worker, isn't he, huh? Go on, Benita, continue.
Then he gets that romantic gleam in his eye. And when he looks at my hair...
Yes?
He says... That reminds me, I gotta go mow Mr. Benny's lawn.
I told you at rehearsal, when you came to that, you'd stumble. How did I get it? She wants to be alone. All right, come here. Benita, tell me, has Dennis ever proposed to you, you know, marriage?
Oh, yes, but I'm afraid we'll never be married. What? You see, every night Dennis says, Benita, will you marry me? And before I can say yes...
Yes?
Moskowitz says no.
Oh, forget that guy. Look, Benita, I'm here. You like me, don't you?
Oh, yes, I always have. You know, Mr. Cantor, when I was 14 years old, you were the first man to kiss me.
Gosh.
And I didn't let any other man kiss me till I was 18.
Well, why did you wait so long?
A sample like that could discourage any girl.
Is that so? Well, you're looking at the most unusual kisser in Hollywood.
If ever an answer was unnecessary, this is it.
Oh, no use talking to you, Benita. You're still a kid.
Oh, yeah? Well, then, why is it when I walk on Hollywood Boulevard with my friend, all the boys whistle at me?
Yeah? Who's your friend?
Eddie Lamar.
Oh, I can understand that.
Well, what's wrong with me? Am I so bad looking? Haven't I got a pretty nice figure?
Wait a minute, Harry Von Zell, are you joining these soldiers with our whistling business? Harry Von Zell, that is not nice. In Hollywood, a gentleman does not whistle at a lady.
Listen, Eddie, yes. Those things that chirp around Hollywood and Vine, they're not canaries.
Oh, go away, we're talking. You know, Benita, I saw you in Hitler's Children, and it really was a marvelous picture.
Thank you. We tried to give the American public an idea of what goes on in Germany.
Let me give you an idea what radio is like over there. Last night I tuned into one of their shortwave broadcasts, and this is what it sounded like. Take it away, Germany. Let's go to press. Press. A report from Tokyo says that the American air war against the Japanese adds up to nothing. Absolutely nothing. All the Yankees are shooting down as zeros. Press. A bulletin from the Tunisian front shows that the new song is number one on Rommel's hit parade. Don't get around much anymore. My dear German people, there is nothing to worry about with the Russian campaign. Our Führer says we will defeat the Russians this year. He says we will annihilate the Russians. He says we will push the Russians back. There is only one thing wrong. Moscow says no.
was wonderful, Eddie. But I guess I'll be running along now.
Oh, no, you don't. Vanita, you're not leaving here until I get the check that Benny owes me.
But Moskowitz...
Who is this guy Moskowitz? Who? Who?
How do you do?
Gone, the mad Russian. Russian, tell me something.
Yeah.
Are you Moskowitz?
I ain't saying yes, and I ain't saying maybe.
What are you saying?
No.
Moskowitz!
They got me.
Russian, this is Bonita Granville.
Hmm.
She made a big hit as one of Hitler's children.
You're one of Hitler's children?
Yes.
Shouldn't happen to a dog.
Let's get down to business, Russian.
Okay with me?
So you are Benny's financial advisor, eh?
Yeah.
Why did you leave me to go to work for Grape Nuts?
I got tired of working for Peanuts.
Oh, stop, will you?
Say, Russian.
Yeah.
If you're handling Benny's money, mm-hmm. you must be pretty smart. What experience have you had in the financial world?
Never hear of the Wolf of Wall Street?
Oh, sure.
Well, I'm one of his pups.
You look like all of his pups. Listen, quit stalling. If you're really Moskowitz, tell me, where is my check?
Tomorrow morning, Jack Benny is going to the special vault where he keeps his money and taking out $5 for you.
$5? $5?
Yes.
That's not enough.
You want the whole mattress?
Oh, what a financial wizard. Benita, whatever you do, don't let him handle your money, Benita.
Don't listen to him, you neither.
Benita.
If you let me handle your affairs, I can get you any salary you like in pictures. You want to get $200 a week? You want to get $400 a week? You want to get $500 a week?
But, Russian, I already get $1,000 a week.
You want to get married?
Married you? Why, you're puny, gruesome, repulsive, and ugly.
Hey, I can't have everything. After all,
Russian, I want to tell you...
Wait a minute, I'll take it. Hello? Yes, this is Moskowitz. No! You heard me. Moskowitz says no! Oh, ho! All right, I'll be right over.
Russian, what do you mean you'll be right over? You're Moskowitz, you said no.
But my drabbo said yes.
Oh, get out of here. Russian, Moskowitz.
Moskowitz says no.
I can't look at him. Good night, Bonita Granville, and thanks for being with us. You were really swell, Bonita.
You know something, Eddie?
What?
I can't get over Bonita Granville, the way she's grown up so fast.
Harry, you have no idea how fast kids get to be grown-ups these days. Have you noticed, Harry?
Yes, but her especially.
And how smart they are.
Yes.
Smart. They're really smart, Harry.
I know.
I remember when I was a kid. I remember when I was born in New York City 33 years ago. We didn't have... They're so smart. By the way, Harry, that reminds me. I've got a date with a 2-year-old youngster right after the broadcast.
A date with a kid.
He's going to explain the Robertson-Foran 75% forgiveness pay-as-you-go tax bill. I've got a date right out.
Oh, no, Eddie, well, I don't believe that, but I really do believe that youngsters nowadays are pretty smart. Wouldn't it be swell if those kids could teach us older folks their system of learning things so fast? They don't let a minute go by without picking up some information, you know. We ought to have a system like that.
A good idea. And here's your chance to help start that system right now, Harry.
Right, thanks, Eddie. Ladies and gentlemen, whenever you wake up in the morning feeling headachy and under the weather because you need a laxative, you'll feel better faster if you just remember Sal Hepatica and take it right away. Because then Sal Hepatica brings quick, gentle relief, usually within an hour. So why wait until night to take the laxative you need in the morning? For then you risk feeling miserable the rest of the day. It's worth your while to remember this about sparkling Sal Hepatica, too.
This famous mineral salt laxative also helps counteract excess gastric acidity, helps turn a sour stomach sweet again.
So tonight or tomorrow, get a bottle of sparkling Sal Hepatica from your druggist. Then, whenever you need a laxative, morning, noon, or night, See how much faster you feel better when you take gentle, speedy Sal Hepatica.
Ladies and gentlemen, the boys at the Tawny General Hospital at Palm Springs, California, asked me to sing this song which I introduced in World War I. I don't wanna get well, I don't wanna get well, I'm in love with a beautiful girl. Early every morning, night and noon, the cutest little girl, he comes and feeds me with a spoon. I don't wanna get well, I don't wanna get well, the life I'm living here is so sublime. The doctor says he's pleased with my condition, but oh, 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 I've got so much ambition. I don't wanna get well, I don't wanna get well, for I'm having a wonderful time. I don't wanna get well, I don't wanna get well, I'm in love with a beautiful nurse. She props me up in bed each time I eat. I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy when she wraps me in a sheet. I don't wanna get well, I don't wanna get well, the life I'm living here is so sublime. Oh, how I miss my dear old second Louis. Oh, 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 is that a lot of hooey? I don't wanna get well, I don't wanna get well, for I'm having a wonderful time. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And now I'd like to read our winning letter of the week, written by R.T. Marple of Valley Head, West Virginia, to his son Private Dorsey A. Marple of Camp Gordon, Georgia. The letter reads, "My dear son, it's getting along towards Mother's Day again, and Mother's been wishing extra hard that you could be home. She hasn't had a letter from you for quite a long time. I'll bet she's tidied up your old room a dozen times in the last couple of weeks, just in case. Often in the evening when I'm sitting in my big chair and Mother thinks I'm dozing, I see her quietly take the family album and put it in her lap, and then she turns to your picture and just looks and looks. Then pretty soon I see her wipe her eyes and sigh. And, well, of course, you know how women are, son, especially mothers. I remember after she got your last letter, I missed her. I thought I knew where she would be, so I crept upstairs and peeked into her room. There she was kneeling by her bed, and I heard her say through her tears, 'Oh, God, watch over and keep our boy. And if it pleases thee, don't let him forget how much we love him.' It broke me up a little, son. You see, men understand those things and can take it, but mothers, you know, they're different. So won't you sit down and write and tell her you love her and how much you'd like to be back home for Mother's Day? I know, son, it would make her awfully happy if you would. Love, Dad." Congratulations, Mr. Marple. Tonight we are sending $200 in war bonds to you, the writer of the letter, and $300 in bonds to your boy, Dorsey. And Dorsey, look, you will write to your mother so that she gets a letter next Sunday, won't you? I know a lot of you boys in the service can't be home. After all, we are fighting a war. But if you all sat down and wrote tonight, I know you would make your mother awfully happy for Mother's Day. Well, this ends our four-week letter contest, and to the thousands of people who wrote such inspiring letters to their boys in the service, my grateful thanks. And next week, on this program, our guest will be that hillbilly clown of the Ozarks, Judy Canova. So be with us next Wednesday, and until then, remember,
Moskowitz says no.
Oh, get out of here, will you?
I love to spend each Wednesday with you.
You are listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web with your host, Justine Ward. Next, we have Eddie Cantor with his talented cast of variety artists, plus a famous movie star, Cary Grant, who was just back from entertaining the troops. Burt Gordon does his usual comic turn as the Mad Russian, and Dinah Shore sings the World War II hit, You'll Never Know, in the Eddie Cantor Show, first broadcast May 19th, 1943, on NBC.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bristol Myers, the makers of iPana for the Smile of Beauty and Sal Hepatica for the Smile of Health, present It's Time to Smile with Cary Grant, Dinah Shore, Burt Gordon, the Mad Russian, Cookie Fairchild's Orchestra, the Ambassadors, yours truly, Harry Von Zell, and starring Eddie Cantor!
Kids all call him Johnny Zero. In school they always used to say,
Johnny got a zero, Johnny got a zero, Johnny got a zero today.
The kids all laughed at Johnny Zero, and they would tease him when they'd play.
Johnny got a zero, Johnny got a zero, Johnny got a zero today.
He couldn't concentrate on studies. His mind was always in the sky. When he grew up, he left his buddies, and Johnny learned how to fly. Now they still call him Johnny Zero, and all the pilots proudly say, Johnny got a zero, he got another zero, Johnny got a zero, hooray!
Johnny Zero is a hero today!
Ladies and gentlemen, hiya, Harry.
What?
I should never have announced that Cary Grant is coming on the program tonight. There were hundreds of girls jammed around the front of the studio, and what trouble I had pushing and squeezing to get in the main entrance.
Yeah, well, why didn't you come through the side entrance?
What, and miss all that trouble? Don't I look wonderful? Don't I look wonderful, Harry?
Yeah,
Harry, do I look good? Do I look good, Harry?
Look, Eddie, let's not kid ourselves. You're no glamour boy, you know.
Is that so? Then how come two of the girls in front of the studio mistook me for Cary Grant? How come? How come?
They mistook you for Cary Grant?
Yes, when I walked by, they yelled, Cary, Cary. Well,
what did you do?
I let him carry me. What could I do? I'm not as young as I used to be, but Harry, believe me, I'm just as popular as that Grant guy. Believe me,
you
Harry.
Are.
As a matter of fact, I've been told that women dream about me, Harry.
No.
They do, Harry.
Women dream about you? And...
Yeah, yeah.
Well.
They do, yes.
No wonder they look like that when they get up in the morning.
Harry.
No, Eddie, now listen, you take a fellow like Grant.
Cary Grant, why do the women make such a fuss over him? What has he got, Harry?
He has a handsome face.
Yes.
He has a wonderful physique.
Yes.
Sparkling personality.
So what? What about me? What have I got? Oh, think, Harry, I must have something.
Let's see. Shall I start with your face, Eddie?
No, that's my finish. Look, Harry, start anyway. Start with my ankles. Harry, ask yourself, has Cary got such a glamorous pair of ankles? It's a pity to hide them in these socks, really. My ankles deserve sweaters. Oh, really? But even without them, I'm prettier than Grant. Forget my ankles.
All right. Now, how about your hips?
Skip my hips.
Your chest?
Drop my chest.
It's already dropped.
Yep, never mind. All right, Harry. Well, tell me, what is left of my beauty?
Well, there's an Adam's apple and a pair of tan shoes.
Why should you say those things?
Well, listen, Eddie, how can you compare yourself to a 6-foot Adonis like Cary?
Listen, he's not so much taller than me. Why, Cary sold me a suit of his own suit, Cary
he
Grant.
Did?
And without alterations, I'm able to wear it. A
Of course, I feel a little silly when somebody asks me for a cigarette.
Well, what's that got to do with
it? I have to stand up in a chair to put my hands in my pants pocket.
You mean the trousers are that high?
High. Every time I want to sneeze, I have to pull them down.
Well, listen, Eddie, with Cary Grant coming over, the least you could have done was to get some new clothes.
I did have. You just can't see them, that's all. What I bought, you can't... I'm wearing something special that was made in Russia. Gorilla shorts.
Gorilla shorts?
Yeah, they keep creeping up on you, Harry. Look, she's showing him.
Eddie, you spent the weekend at Carrie's house, didn't you?
Yes, and Harry, I've never seen such a fancy house as he has.
Really?
You know that he's got a grand piano, Harry? He's got a grand piano.
Well, what's so fancy about a grand piano?
The legs are wearing nylons.
Oh, Eddie, what a joke.
Well, what do you expect? My writers were inducted and their draft board is sending me jokes. Harry! Harry, where are you going to get good jokes these days?
What's that?
Come in. Yes?
Have you heard the one about the moron who saluted every frigidaire in the army camp?
The moron who saluted every frigidaire in the army camp?
Yes, he heard one of them was General Electric.
Where were we, Harry?
Well, we were talking about Cary Grant's house.
Oh, yeah, well, Harry, he's got the most elaborate radio with a shortwave attachment.
Oh.
I stayed up late the other night and tuned in on one of those Axis propaganda broadcasts from Berlin. I'll give you an idea what it sounded like. Take it away, Berlin. The Democratic Committee for the Resort of the Flutes of Melchizedek. Well, let's go to press. The reason for all the bombings of Germany this week was the result of the Churchill-Roosevelt fireside chat. They're having the chat and we are having the files. A communique from Berchtesgaden regarding the Tunisian campaign. Our beloved Führer has this to say, quote, "The loss of Africa means nothing. I must be firm. It means absolutely nothing. I must be honest. It means nothing. It means nothing. I must be nuts," unquote. Last, the Fuhrer wishes us to announce that we are planning a new war loan. If anybody wants this war, we would be glad to loan it to them. Marshal Rommel has something to say about the loss of Africa. The next voice you hear will be that of Marshal Rommel. Listen. Thank you.
Hiya, Mr. Cantor.
Well, shut my mouth. It's Dinah Shaw.
Gosh, I'm worried, Mr. Cantor. I got all my meat ration points together and invited Cary Grant over to my house for dinner.
Well, what's worrying you?
How do you stuff an 8-ounce roast?
Dinah, you're serving a little 8-ounce roast for you and Cary? Why, I could stick a roast like that in my eye.
In your eye, you could stick a turkey. But all I got is 4 points. Gee, if you are able to buy a big roast, what happens? You cook it and all the fat goes to waste.
Well, Dinah, the fat shouldn't go to waste. It should be saved. Remember, we're at war, and practically all of the glycerine needed for vital war materials must come from fats and grease saved in the nation's kitchens. It's very serious.
Are all countries faced with the same problem?
No, not all of them. Take Germany, for instance. All the Nazis have to do is to melt down Goering, and they've got enough fat for the duration. But over here, every drop of fat and grease is needed. Now, pour it into a clean can, take it to your meat dealer, and it will be converted into powerful explosives within 3 weeks. Think of it, Dinah. Do your part in the kitchen, and next month you might be mentioned in a communique.
A communique?
Yes. Might go like this. The American Air Force bombed Japan with the fats from Dinah Shaw's frying pan. 1 million Japs were blown to pieces. If you want 1 million more, save your greases. And now lovely Dinah Shaw sings You'll Never Know, one of the leading songs for... Come in. You again?
Did you hear the one about the moron who dropped a cow off of a cliff?
No.
He wanted to see the Jersey bounce.
Sing, Dinah.
You'll never know just how much I miss you. never know just how much I care. And if I tried, I still couldn't hide my love for you.
Set you straight on one thing. You know, of course, I was kidding about all these girls coming to see Cary Grant. They're really here to see me, because the other thing was Joe.
You?
Yes. You must remember this face of mine is something to see. After all, it's as familiar as the map of this country, Harry. You know.
Yeah.
What is the laughing for, please?
You're beginning to sag there around the Gulf of Mexico.
A wise guy with his... I suppose you're going to tell me that these girls are here to see you.
Oh,
they're all your fans, huh?
No. My fans are mothers, especially mothers with very small boys and girls.
How do you know that, Harry?
From letters I've received from some mothers lately.
Letters?
Yes. Very friendly letters commenting on something I said.
What was that you said, Harry?
Well, that all mothers today deserve a unanimous vote of thanks for doing some important soldiering on the home front. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, next to the family physician, a mother is the most important person in guarding the health of her family. That's why it's to every mother's interest to know about the best things for the health and well-being of her family. For instance, how to take intelligent care of teeth and gums. And a splendid way to do that is to visit your dentist faithfully, and in between visits, regularly use iPana toothpaste and gum massage. Because iPana is not only unsurpassed for cleaning and brightening teeth, but when used with massage, it is especially designed to help keep gums firm and healthy. That's why so many dentists recommend this easy, healthful routine.
Brush your teeth regularly with iPana toothpaste. And every time you do, put a little extra iPana on your brush or fingertip and massage it on your gums.
Do that faithfully, ladies and gentlemen, to help yourself to healthier gums and more sparkling teeth. To a smile of beauty with iPana and massage.
Thank you, Cookie. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a very special guest with me tonight, a truly great actor, a fine, distinguished gentleman, whose visit makes me sort of realize how Mr. Roosevelt must feel when Churchill drops him for tea. Our tall, dark, and handsome Adonis of the cinema has just returned from a long tour of American Army camps throughout the country, where he did a great job entertaining our men. Here he is, Cary Grant. Just look at this guy, will you? 195 pounds of solid man. Lady, put away your ration book. You can't take him home no matter how many points you got. Harry, it's a pleasure to see you.
Well, thanks, Eddie. And it's wonderful being here with you. You know, lots of people think you're radio's best actor, funniest comedian, and most talented star. See, I told you I could read that without laughing.
I can't kick that high. You know, Cary, besides Army bases, I also visited WAC camps.
Yeah?
And I was very popular, especially with those girl buglers.
They love to play for me.
Go on, they did?
They must have. Every time I walk by, one girl said to the other, here comes Candle, let's blow. You know, Carrie, some of those whack cams don't use a bugle anymore.
No bugle? Well, how do they get the girls up in the morning?
Captain just yelled, Carrie Grant's here, girls, come and get them. You know, you played so many army camps lately and met so many high officials. Maybe you can give me some information.
Shoot.
Why is it that the RAF and American planes have bombed every place in Germany except Berchtesgaden?
Oh, Eddie, don't you know?
Oh, what?
Why, that's where Roosevelt and Churchill are holding their next meeting.
Harry, you know, I just noticed how tall you are. Gosh. I imagine you have a lot of trouble doing love scenes with a short leading lady, huh?
Well, I'll tell you. For me to kiss a movie star comfortably, she's got to be about 6 feet tall.
Then we ought to team up.
Why, how do you mean?
While you're kissing the skyscraper girls, I'll take care of the basement trade. You know what I mean?
Well, that won't be necessary. I finally found a way to kiss those little glamour girls without bending over.
How do you do it?
I tie them to a yo-yo and kiss them on the upswing.
Are you sure you don't need my help?
All right, if I must. Come out to the studio tomorrow, and if the glamour girls are too short, you can help me.
You want me to kiss them?
No, you boost them up.
Low man again. Look, Carrie, maybe you can give me a few tips on how to appeal to the ladies. I'd like to know from you.
Sure, Eddie, sure. Just play hard to get. Now, if, I say if.
Yes?
If Hedy Lamarr puts her arms around you and wants you to kiss her, ignore her. That'll drive her crazy.
Yeah, it'll drive her crazy, huh? How do I keep from going nuts? You know, Carrie, I'm just thinking, all these jokes about kissing girls strikes me funny.
Why, what do you mean?
The writer writes them, I read them, and a guy like you gets them. You know, Carrie, I was once young and attractive.
Well, when was that? Before your reincarnation?
Wait a minute, where does it say? Oh, are you insinuating that I died and came back again?
Have you got a better excuse?
Carrie, I've got a good mind to tell my family. Oh. Come in. He's in again.
Did you hear the one about the moron whose mother has been knitting him 3 socks at a time?
Why has she been knitting him 3 socks at a time?
Since he joined the army, he's grown another foot.
See the kind of screwballs that bother me? I bet you never had that trouble, do you, Carrie?
Well, every once in a while I get a silly fan letter. Here's one I got from a woman this morning.
You got it right here? Well, read it. We'd like to hear it.
Okay, if you say so.
Go ahead.
There's, Dear Carrie, I see you in all your pictures, and I keep thinking how I would love to elope with you. There's only one thing wrong. I've got a husband.
Oh.
But you're the one I dream of. Every night I stay awake thinking of you.
How do you like that? Poor husband probably knocks himself out working 2 shifts at Lockheed. He comes home, and what happens? She stays awake on his time.
Says, believe me, Carrie, as soon as my husband leaves for work, I run off quickly to see your pictures. And I stay so long in the movies, I never get home in time to cook dinner.
Oh, that's fine. The wife gets stuck on you in hot love scenes, the husband gets stuck with cold cuts. Beautiful. Go ahead.
I keep taking him to movies and telling him he's got to learn how to make love like you and Tyrone Power. But when he kisses me, it's still Abbott and Costello.
Oh, the poor jerk.
That's all for now. All my love, signed, Ida.
That's my wife. Then I'm the jerk.
I'll do, you'll do.
Oh, Carrie, you're fooling. I know you don't mean any more to Ida than the man in the... Wait a minute, that's me. Hello, this is Eddie Cantor.
This is Ida. Let me talk to him.
Him?
That's me, Eddie. I'll take it. Hello, Ida.
Oh, Carrie. For weeks you've been promising to tell me. You must tell me now. You must.
Well, I couldn't not hear.
Oh, please. It's all right. No one will know.
Yeah, but in front of Eddie.
Go ahead. I won't know, remember? I'm a jerk.
How do you do?
Oh, quiet.
Carrie, I can't wait any longer. You've been promising to tell me for so long.
But Ida, I...
Go on, please. Say it.
Well, okay. Now, listen carefully. You take 2 cups of flour and beat up the whites of 3 eggs and a spoonful of cinnamon, a little vanilla, and chocolate sauce. I think Eddie would like it that way.
Oh, Eddie, he's such a sweet man. Look at him.
After cooking in a moderate oven for 10 minutes, leave it on the table with a cup of coffee for Eddie.
Yes.
Then meet me at the Brown Derby. We'll have dinner together.
Oh, you were fooling, Carrie. I happen to know that my wife is not on the phone. She's here in the audience tonight. And you mean nothing to her. That's Ida in the fifth row. Carrie, I wonder if you'd say hello to her. Will you say hello to her out
sure.
there?
Sure. Hello, Ida.
Carry her out, boys. Carry her out. Take her out, sir. What is the strange power that you've got over women that makes... Come in. Here we go again.
Did you hear about the moron who spent all day wandering through a lumber yard?
No. Why did he wander through a lumber yard?
He wanted to see what a draft board looks like.
He's out.
One moment, gentlemen. Did you guess what I have concealed in the palm of my hand?
In the palm of your hand? Let me see. The Golden Gate Bridge?
No.
The Hollywood Bowl?
No.
I got it. The Los Angeles Symphony Orchestra.
Yes. But who's conducting?
Now will you get out? Please get out.
Just a moment, please. Did you hear about the moron?
Yeah, wait a minute. Who is this moron?
Me.
I wonder who that guy is.
Don't you know him, Eddie? He's my friend, Don Barkley. Remember, he was one of the big stars of Big Bang.
Well, of course, Don Barkley, the Follies of 1970. Gosh, Carrie. I'll never forget Don Barkley and all the people in that show. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, what a thrill it must have been to see your name on the marquee, all lit up in front of the theater.
Yes, and I'd walk around to the stage and see W.C. Fields all lit up in back of the theater. Oh, it was beautiful. Yes, Harry, those were the good old days.
Yeah, you bet they were. You know, Eddie, I came home from my job one night in Coney Island just in time to see you in the New Amsterdam Theater, prancing up and down the stage, singing.
How you gonna keep them down on the farm after they see Harry? How you gonna keep them away from Broadway, chasing around, painting the town? How you gonna keep them away from harm? That's a mystery. Imagine Reuben when he meets his pa. He'll kiss his cheek and holler, ooh la la. How you gonna keep him down on the farm after they've seen Harry?
Oh, master.
What is it, Cookie Fairchild?
You know what my fiddle player Sam just said?
No.
He said Mr. Cary Grant has gone around in a complete circle.
Complete circle?
Yeah. Sam says Mr. Grant started his career in Coney Island, worked with corny honky-tonk entertainers, then he became famous in the movies, and now he's right back where he started, working with you.
Tell Sam he's fired. Will you tell him, Cook?
Sam also said at least Mr. Grant is only here this week. Yeah. But the rest of us aren't doing so good. We're here every week.
I'll kill that Sam. But before I do, you tell him he's wrong. I know at least one person on this program who does plenty of good.
Who?
Well, Harry Von Zell. That's who. He does plenty of good each week for all of our listeners when he suggests how they can feel better faster.
Thank you, Eddie. And ladies and gentlemen, I sincerely hope many of you have benefited by remembering this simple truth. When you wake up in the morning feeling dull and headachy due to the need of a laxative, you will feel better faster if you'll take Sal Hepatica right away. Because then Sal Hepatica brings quick, gentle relief, usually within an hour. So there's no need to put off till night taking the laxative you need in the morning. No need to go on feeling miserable all day. It's a good thing to know this about Sal Hepatica, too.
Sparkling Sal Hepatica also helps counteract excess gastric acidity, helps turn a sour stomach sweet again.
So get a bottle of Sal Hepatica from your druggist tonight or tomorrow. Then any time you need a laxative, morning, noon, or night, see how much faster you feel better when you take gentle, speedy Sal Hepatica.
Oh, Carrie, Cary Grant.
Yes, dear?
What?
Oh, sorry, I thought it was Dinah.
Yeah, I just got a call from the War Department. They said your tour of American Army camps was so successful
The chairman of the Overseas Entertainment Committee wants you to go abroad with him.
What, you mean the chairman of the Overseas Entertainment Committee? Who is he?
Who? Who?
How do you do?
Russian, what's this about you being the head of the Overseas Entertainment Committee?
It's true, it's true. Carry, my boy, how would you like to come to Russia to entertain the soldiers?
Well, I'd be glad to, but after entertaining all the boys, how would I get out of Russia?
Just follow the Germans.
Hey, Russian, tell me, what sort of show did you have in mind?
Very romantic.
Yeah?
Yes. You see, at the opening, I come out and sing. I left my heart at the Moscow canteen.
You left your heart at the Moscow canteen?
Should have left my face, huh?
What does Carrie do? Tell us what he's...
Carrie Granite, you will entertain the soldiers. Then the Russian girls will entertain you. Then I will entertain the Russian girls.
Then what happens?
Who crossed out the next line?
Russian, tell me. You know who crossed it out. Tell me, have you had any experience in the Soviet theater?
Oodles. My dear citizen.
Yes.
I was Russia's greatest motion picture star. I will never forget my last picture.
What was the title?
Hop Along, Molotov, and Dead Man's Ghost.
Who produced it?
Me. Yeah. In Russia, I wrote, acted, produced, and directed my own picture.
Really? Who was your cameraman?
You gotta have a camera.
Stop stalling, Russian. We want to know exactly, before I permit Cary Grant to go, we must know, what does he do in your show?
The greatest role of his career.
Yes.
He comes out wearing part of my Cossack costume.
Yes.
I'm wearing the coat, and Cary is wearing the trousers. That's very funny, very funny.
Harry is wearing your trousers?
Yes.
What's so funny about it?
Grant in my pants.
Stick around, Carrie. I have a message for you in just a minute. Last week, ladies and gentlemen, we introduced on this program a brand new song, In My Arms. We've had so many requests that tonight we repeat it with some new words. Cookie, if you please. In my arms, in my arms, ain't I never gonna get a girl in my arms. In my arms, in my arms, ain't I never gonna get a bundle of charms. Comes the dawn, I'll be gone, I'll be heading for the very thick of the fight. You can wine and dine and cigarette me, but if you really want to get me, give me a girl in my arms tonight.
In my arms, in my arms.
Ain't I never going to get a girl in my arms.
In my arms, in my arms.
Ain't I never going to get a bundle of charms.
Comes the dawn, you'll be gone.
And though I don't want to seem a bit impolite, all those magazines could not be greater, but I can do my reading later.
Give me a girl in my arms tonight.
Cary Grant, we appreciate your coming here tonight. We really do. And on behalf of our men in service everywhere, those that you and Don Barkley have entertained, thanks. Good luck to both of you on your new tour.
Thank you, Eddie. And good night, everybody.
Did you hear about the moron?
Oh, get out of here, Don Barkley. Go on. Our guest stars in the coming weeks will be Mary Boland, Rochester, Joey Brown, and Mickey Rooney. And in the meantime, remember,
I love to spend each Wednesday with you.
Good night.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying, so long for a while.